Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Charlie McGrath's Wide Awake News. This is Friday, and it's time for Karen's Corner. It is January 25th, and my regularly scheduled guests for this evening were going to be David and Crystal Sarita, who had some personal issues come up. I'm working at rescheduling them. But in the meantime, someone who I am very grateful to and in a way really indebted to is Max Egan of thecrowhouse.com. Back in 2008, when I finally was just overwhelmed with the corruption and looking at the Leave No Banker Behind bailout bonus stimulus package, I had been listening to Max and I was familiar with him, and I actually contacted him in December of 2008, and he helped me with my first website, taxholiday2009.net, helped a few times with the rewrites and the different things and getting that up there. And then that evolved into tax315, which has evolved into unitedwestrike.com. And I'm still here plugging away, and my a mentor, a friend, a musician, a writer, an artist, and a humanitarian, Max Egan, has joined us this evening, and I'm just very, very happy to have this be able to work out so quickly. So, Max, thank you very much for joining me. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, I'm very hard to catch, so it was a lucky hook this morning. You just happened to catch me at the right time, and here I am.
I did. Now, again, thank you for helping me get started, and I know that you have been extremely active. I did just put in your 10 days in Gaza, your link to the YouTube, and, you know, Max, I'm just going to kick the ball to you because I know that you may only be here for the first hour, and let's cover what it is that you'd like to get into.
Oh, look, there's so many things on the boil at the moment. It's difficult to know where to start. We've got some major action happening here as far as addressing the corporate government of this country. We've got some major things happening as far as a mission that we've got this year called the Full Circle Project, and that is going to be traveling as many places as possible. And it's a very, very involved project. It did start off as just a series of workshops that we were going to do, but it's kind of morphed into something quite much larger. And I believe it's a mechanism that we're going to be able to go and demonstrate to people in countries and different states around the world. So that's a project that I'm working on now. I've had to put a lot of the stuff that I had planned for the end of the year on hold simply to incorporate it all into the Full Circle Project. I do plan on going back to Peru sometime during this year and doing a documentary about the situation in Peru. But there's also another trip to Gaza on the cards as well. And there's just so much going on. Like I said, there's a lot of legal action that's happening here. People are becoming aware of the corporate system, the corporate nature of our governments, and they're finding methods that they can use to fight back against this system. And this is happening everywhere. I think we're seeing people everywhere waking up to what's really going on, because what's going on is a global corporation's being put in place, and people are suddenly realizing that they are all being made to be subservient to this corporation against their will, and usually without their knowledge even. And people are waking up and they're finding ways through it, and they're realizing that we do have to address this problem, because if we don't, we've got a situation whereby corporations have imposed us to a corporate system. They've imposed this on us and embedded us within this corporate system. And what they are doing is they're strip mining the planet, and they're stealing all the wealth. They're milking the wealth of the population, and they're milking the wealth of the planet, and they're transferring it all into private hands via the mechanism of this corporate system. It's a very effective form of human trafficking, essentially. It's people farming. That's what's going on, and people are waking up to it. We're realizing that our governments, or those people posing as our governments, aren't actually our governments. They're corporate entities that we're not contracted to. We don't have any real relationship with these people at all. And yet we're enslaved to their system because they're masquerading as governments around the world. So I think this year we're going to see a big awakening to this, and we're going to see a lot of action taken towards this by people. That's what people are waking up to. They're waking up to the fact that it's a corporate system, and they're finding the means to fight back. And we have to do this. Everybody has to realize what's going on, because if we don't address this, then we're going to find that we don't have an earth to live on. If we're going to find the whole human race dispossessed, if we don't address what's going on, we've got to realize that we don't employ governments to steal from us. We employ them to manage our infrastructure. And that's the approach we have to have. So, yeah, people are waking up to it, and I think this is the year we're going to see a lot of change. I really do.
I think also that people are really, really waking up to all of this corruption around them, and when they finally truly understand that all of us, whether or not we believe it, whether or not we look and overtly can see that we're affected by it, we are all corporate death slaves, and corporations only run as long as the employees show up to do the dirty work. And it's why I continue to go back to the idea of a strike in terms of peaceful noncompliance and telling them, no, I refuse to allow myself to be used, because there's nothing more important than saving a future for my children, saving the planet for the rest of my life, and starting to step into morality as adults in the 21st century.
Well, yeah, I mean, we do, and it's become a matter of need, because, you know, the planet's being destroyed by our non-participation, really. I mean, we're realizing that things are corrupt, but we're questioning the bills all the time, but we're not really seeing where they come from. Why is our whole life been reduced to commerce? Why does every single thing we do have a commercial value? Now, even going to the park, parking the car, going to an exhibit or anything, you've got to pay. Everything has a commercial value. You have a commercial value. Time is money. Time is money. You know, we get this fed into us, but no one ever asks why. Why does everything have a commercial value? Why are we living in societies whereby we're willing to dispossess people? We're willing to allow people to starve because it's not financially viable to feed them. We're willing to dispossess people in order to support a corporate model, to support an economic model. You know, it's all about the numbers on the screen. It's all about balancing the books. But this is just a system of digits and numbers that we made up, all based on these pieces of paper that we hand around to each other. It's a paper-based reality. What are we doing? You know, we're dispossessing people, and we're destroying the planet in order to support a paper-based reality and make sure the books are balanced. You know, we've got a system whereby people that operate within the system are so lost and so disconnected from reality that they'll keep going until they've destroyed the planet and they've turned it into something that looks like the moon. And then they'll be thinking, oh, my God, we've got to find another planet to go and exploit because I still owe money to the bank. You know, that's the way they think. And it's unfortunate, but that's what we've got. And I believe the only way we're ever going to address this system is if the people themselves simply stop complying with it, stop going along with it. I mean, we don't have to see the people of this planet dispossessed in order to support an economic model. It's ridiculous. This economic system is supposed to be there to support our needs. We're not supposed to be here as food for the system. And yet that's what we are. And like I said, it's people farming. It's essentially extortion of assets and extortion of the planet and the wealth of the planet via people farming, via human trafficking. And it is human trafficking, you can tell, because everybody has a corporate value attached to them, a commercial value attached to them. Everything we do has a commercial value attached to it. So it is. It's people farming. And we need to pay attention. We need to step outside of this system and really look what it is and see what it is. And if we're going to have government, which, I mean, I'd like to see people self-govern, but apparently we're not ready for that. I mean, obviously we're not. People need to be governed, I suppose. Some of them, some people do. They want to be governed anyway. So, okay, well, let's put a system in place that actually supports them and teaches them how to govern themselves. Let's put in a system whereby everybody is kept in their natural state of abundance, which is where we should be, rather than a system that puts everybody in an artificially created system of scarcity. Because this system of scarcity creates crime, it creates competition, it creates the need for laws, it creates the need for prisons, it creates the need to dispossess the people. So that's the way we need to look at it. We need to turn it back to what it should be. We have a system here that should support human needs, not create a system whereby a control grid can be put in place. And that's what it is, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, any corporate system is essentially a control grid anyway, so, you know, we just have to look at it.
All right, everyone, welcome back. I understand my audio's a little bit difficult, so I apologize. I tried a headset. I will get another headset out this next commercial break. I do have my tinfoil hat on right now, so we'll see if that makes any difference. Max, I definitely agree that we need to wake up and step out of this corporate profit-making machine. And we also, I think, have to understand, especially here in America, that the United States is the biggest drug and gun-running operation around. Our government is. And it's about time we said no to all the corruption, our own and especially those of our misrepresentatives.
Well, absolutely. I mean, but it's a global thing. I mean, it's not just America. It's everywhere. I mean, people just have to realize who and what they are. We've got to realize that we employ governments and they're supposed to act on our behalf. I mean, it's as simple as that, you know. And really, I mean, if you look at common law, in the breach of a law, there has to be an injured party. And yet, in the breach of a statute, there's no injured party except the person who's prosecuted. So who broke the law? The government broke the law. Because they're prosecuting people and they're putting people in harm's way, putting them in jail and removing their liberty because these people were in breach of a corporate contract that these people really aren't even affiliated with. But they just trick them into it. They trick people into thinking they've got jurisdiction over them through this corporate system and people never question them. Here in Australia, we've just got a method now where we just ask people to identify themselves. I always ask people to identify themselves. If someone says they're representing the state of New South Wales, well, according to my research, the only state of New South Wales that I can find, the only entity called the state of New South Wales is a corporation. So you need to show me that I have any affiliation or any contractual obligation or am employed by that corporation. If you can't show me that, then it would appear that you're attempting to exercise a right of ownership over me in order to enforce a non-existent contract. I mean, if you're going to arrest me, I'll go with you because I'm in fear of my safety, but I will be pursuing the matter and I will be requiring you to deliver me the documentation in affidavit form that shows you are actually a member of government and you are in any way affiliated with what is said named in the Constitution as the government of the Commonwealth. That is the name of the Australian government, the government of the Commonwealth. So you send me an affidavit showing that the state of New South Wales is affiliated with the government of the Commonwealth, and then we can talk. But if you don't, then you're telling me you're agreeing with me that you're a private corporation. I would remind you there is a 2-year penalty for anybody who is impersonating a government officer. So that's my stand. If you want to take me away now, that's fine. You do what you're going to do, and I'll go with you peacefully because I'm in fear for my safety. But I will be pursuing the matter. And that's the way you talk to these people. Get them to tell you who they are. Anytime the government sends you anything, any bill, any fine, anything, get them to identify themselves. And have a look. Go and have a look on the commercial or the Securities Exchange Commission in Washington. Go and look up, see if you can find the name of your state or the name of your country anywhere on that website. Because if you can, you'll find that it's a registered company. You know, the Commonwealth of Australia is a registered company. Its address is 1601 Massachusetts Avenue, Washington. You know, it's a registered company, and all the states in this country are subsidiary companies of that one company. I don't know any allegiance to that company. This company is posing, it's an impersonator. It's posing as the Australian government, and it's inflicting fines upon people, and it's trapping people within corporate contracts that these people have no party to. The problem is that no one's ever told them this. And you're going to find that this is the way it is in every single country that has a central bank. If you start investigating your country, investigating the names of the states in your country, investigating the names of your country, and you start looking it up in places like the Security Exchange Commission, if you can find these countries and you find that they have a business number, in Australia it's called an ABN, we've got states in this country have an ABN. That's an Australian business number. Local councils have an Australian business number. Why would someone have an Australian business number? Well, they have that because they're required to pay tax. And yet they're claiming to be a government body. You know, think about it. Governments don't pay tax. Governments collect tax. So if you've got an organization here called the State of New South Wales and it has an ABN, why does it have to pay tax if it's a government body? It has to pay because it isn't a government body. It's a corporation posing as a government body that's trapping people into non-existent contracts. And this is not what we employ governments to do. This has all been put in place. This whole corporate system has been put in place unknownst to the Australian people, unknownst to the people in any country. And what are these people? What are these people that we elect to office? What they are public trustees. So the fact that they even support this corporate system is a breach of trust. That's what it is. And I'm not talking about trust law. I'm not going down the avenue of trust law. I'm going down the concept of basic trust. I don't have to go into trust law because trust law is fiction like all the other law. It's all the stuff that we created. God created man. Man created all the fiction below man. My name is man. We are mankind. All of this legal system, even the Australian Constitution, even the American Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta, all of these things are fiction. We made them all up, you know. So really all we have to do is know who and what we are and know that our relationship with anybody is a trust agreement. My relationship with you on this show is a trust agreement. We trust that we will respect each other. You know, this is a trust agreement. You order something from a takeaway store. They bring you a sandwich. It's a trust agreement. You expect them to make the sandwich properly. You don't think they're going to put poison in there. They're going to bring it to you in a timely fashion. It's going to be well made. It's going to be what you ordered. This is a trust agreement. You take your car to the mechanic. It's a trust agreement. Everything we do, all our interaction with people is a trust agreement. We elect politicians into positions of power and we grant them the power to enforce certain rules upon society for our benefit. And I would suggest that you look at the world today to see that they're in breach of trust because they're not doing this. Everything they do is against us, you know. So this is breach of trust.
That's very true, and I think that that's one of the biggest points I resonate with, is that all of our government officials are guilty of a breach of the public trust. All right, we will be back again with Max Egan after this break. Stay tuned. Good evening. We're back from the break, and Max Egan is knocking at the door this evening. Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com. And we're talking about a breach of trust that governments have done to the people. Also, Max, there were some people in the chat room who were asking about your trip to Gaza and Palestine. Would you like to get into that a little bit?
Well, it was a really interesting trip. It was really good to go and meet the people. I've always wanted to go into Gaza and, you know, check out what's going on there because I've always sympathized with the plight of the Palestinian people. I didn't get to the West Bank. I just got into Gaza. And it was very, very interesting to see the whole thing and to feel the energy in there. It was almost surreal being there. But the people are living in a state of extreme hardship. The population is mainly women and children. I mean, there's 1.6 to 1.7 million people in there, and there's 800,000, nearly 900,000 children in there, and of the adult population, half of them are women, and of the male population, less than 1% of them have ever fired a weapon. So waging war against these people, when the State of Israel wages war against Gaza, they're waging war against a population of about 1.3 million women and children, and about 300,000 to 400,000 men, and probably about 2,000 of which have ever fired a gun, or 4,000 of which have ever fired a gun. So it's not really a war, it's genocide. You know, you've got one of the largest military forces on earth waging a war against a besieged, impoverished population of mainly women and children who have no ordnance, no army, no air force, no anti-tank guns, no tanks, no heavy artillery, no nothing. Nothing. They just got light weapons and a few homemade skyrockets. And they're just skyrockets. They go up and they're just metal pipes. They just fall down and hit the ground. Put a hole in your window. Put a hole in your roof. They don't blow up. And in response, we see one of the biggest military forces on earth launching a war and carpet bombing this place and these people. So it was quite shocking to see the situation in there. And what really struck me was the way the people are being dispossessed. I mean, they can't get parts to fix the sewerage. They can't get parts to fix the power station. You know, the sewerage treatment plant's overflowing into the ocean, so the beaches are becoming polluted. They could fix it quite simply, but they can't get the parts to fix it because Israel won't allow any of these parts in. The power's off for 8 to 16 hours a day because they can't get the parts to fix the power station. And Israel just continues to constantly steal land. It's doing so in the West Bank. It's constantly putting in more and more settlements. And all these settlements are doing are stealing Palestinian land, replacing them with Israeli families. And it's a war crime. You're not allowed to do this. You can't just take over a country by walking over into their borders and putting settlements in, dispossessing their people and putting yours there so it becomes your country. You can't do that. They've been doing this for 60 years. And people need to pay attention because what we're seeing here is a people who are being completely dispossessed. And this is the way it's going to go in all of our countries if we don't pay attention. You know, the way of Gaza will be the way of the world. The way of Palestine will be the way of the world. Because what it is a system of surplusing and warehousing human beings. And this is basically what the whole Zionist plan is to just completely dispossess all the people of Palestine until the entire country becomes Israel. And all you have to do is look at a map. I mean, look at the land that was annexed for Israel in 1948 and look at a map now in 2013. And have a look at how much of Palestine is left. Very, very little. And yet all the while you have Israel screaming out that it is the victim in this encounter, but it is not. It is the aggressor. It has always been the aggressor, and it has done nothing but commit war crimes ever since its formation. That's the problem that we see in Gaza.
It is a huge problem, and it's also a huge problem that here in the United States, we are paying for it all. You know, here, let's pay for the genocide of these people. Let's give Israel whatever it wants because we want to buy into a theology that suits the current political systems. I had, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but a few times my guests have been the creators of the film Caesar's Messiah, which looks at Jesus and actually comes to the conclusion that he was not a historical figure. He was actually a political and religious tool who was made up by a family of Caesars, the Flavians, who followed the Judeo-Claudio line. And when you really step back and you watch this film, and you look at the scholars who say that five of them who talk about looking into the life of Jesus anyway, when they really get down to it, they can't find him. And it does make perfect sense to me that you would want to have the religious leader tell people to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, to turn the other cheek, to forgive, to think about their heaven being after they die, as opposed to really working to have a heaven on earth while we are here. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, history is written by the winners, and Christianity and most religions are certainly a control system. They're very little more. I actually did a lot of research into Christ when I was younger because I wanted to understand the man, and I could find no history to support his existence at all. I mean, there is the character in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the rebel priest in the Dead Sea Scrolls. I would suggest that that is the actual historical Christ figure, that rebel priest. I would suggest the figure we see in the Bible, his life was based on the activities of that figure, the rebel priest, and quite possibly on a character known as Apollonius of Tyana, who did similar things to Christ. He seemed to have traveled all the places Christ did and did all these similar things. If you combine the story of Apollonius of Tyana and the story of the rebel priest in the Dead Sea Scrolls, you get a remarkably close depiction of the life of Christ. And I think that is something to look at. I think all religions are control systems. I absolutely do. But the system in Gaza and the system that we're seeing, it's actually Zionist. It's not a theological system at all. A lot of people say that the problem that we're seeing in Israel and Palestine is a war of religion. These people are Judaic. These people are Islam, and they should just get over their religions and live together as brothers. But that's not what's going on in Palestine. That's not what's going on at all. Religion has absolutely nothing to do with it. What it's about is land theft, apartheid, and ethnic cleansing. Religion is just the smokescreen. It's got nothing to do with religion because it's been carried out by Zionists. It's not really the Jews. The Jews aren't really the problem. I mean, sure, there's problems in the Torah. There's problems. You look in all of these books. I mean, you look at the Bible. It's not exactly a happy story, you know. There's problems in any system, any doctrine that places you above anybody else who has a different doctrine. I have problems with that. Anything that is written in a book that tells you that because you read this book, you are more blessed or better than anybody else who read another book, I have problems with that. I think people need to get away from the written word and have a look at what's in their hearts. And so I don't agree with any system of control. But what we're seeing in Palestine, the situation between Palestine and Israel, is it's a Zionist mechanism. It's not a Jewish mechanism. The Jews are as much the victims in this as anybody else. There are literally thousands of Jews in Israel who protest the actions of their government all the time. There's a whole new wave of Jewish kids who refuse to join the military because they refuse to go and kill Palestinians. And this is a huge thing in Israel for a child to do that. For a young person to refuse military service is a huge thing because they don't get the rights of normal people in Israel if they don't serve in the military, because Israel is a very, very apartheid state. And, you know, it's this whole Jewish supremacism that it's got going for it. But again, this is a Zionist mechanism. And they do it so blatantly so people will blame the Jews. And what you see within the United States government is a whole bunch of Zionists. And what is Zionism? Zionism is the belief that Israel should exist where Palestine was. That's basically what Zionism is. So Zionism is a political, it's a political mechanism. It's a political branch of government. It's a political branch of the New World Order. And really, when you look at how Israel was formed, if you look at the Balfour Declaration, when they decided to do it, or they asked if we could please do it, and it never really happened for them. And so they basically, they declared war against Adolf Hitler. They declared war against the German government back in 1932, and they started creating all of these sanctions. The whole Zionist industry, the whole Jewish banking cartels, all of it, they started sanctioning the German government and really trying to destroy the German economy. And so through a tool called the transfer agreement, Hitler agreed to transfer most of them out of the country down to Palestine. So Adolf Hitler was actually the founder of Israel financially.
And supported by many of the families who are still in power on Wall Street, including the Bushes. And we'll get into more on the other side of these breaks, folks, with Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the last segment that we have Max Egan with us tonight. So, Max, you have the floor here until you need to leave. I'm just grateful that you were able to join me this evening.
Well, thanks for having me on, Karen. It's been a pleasure to come and talk to you again. Yeah, look, I think people really need to look at the whole Zionist system and the whole situation of Israel a lot more than what they have. Before the break, I was talking about the transfer agreement. I suggest people get hold of a book by Edwin Black called The Transfer Agreement. What it shows is that there was a major economic battle going on between world Jewry, those who control the finances, and the German government. And world Jewry had basically declared war on the German government. It was actually headlines in a newspaper, World Jewry Declares War on Germany. That was the headlines. That was in 1932, I think. Might have been 1933. But they basically decided they would cripple the German government because the German government had been expelling the Jewish businesses from the country that had crippled the country prior to the new government coming in. And so there was this major economic battle going on. So in desperation, Adolf Hitler made an agreement called the Transfer Agreement, where they decided to send 63,000 German Jews. So they shipped them out, they packed them in trains, and they sent them down to Palestine, and they paid them 100 million, I don't know whether it was dollars or marks, to set up the foundation for Israel. So after the war, after World War II, when the UN declared the state of Israel to exist, the groundwork had already been done by 63,000 German Jews who'd gone down there with 100 million marks and set up the mechanism that was later to be used for the foundation of Israel. So ultimately what you could say that would be that the financial backer and financial father of modern Israel was Adolf Hitler. And that can be easily proven by simply finding the right documents, because all the records of the transfer agreement exist. All the records of the Jews who were shipped out down to Palestine exist. All of these records exist. I suggest that anybody who doubts this, read the book, The Transfer Agreement, by Edwin Black. Edwin Black is a Jew, by the way, as well. This isn't someone being anti-Semitic. This is a Jew who decided to research the history of his country. And what he found absolutely shocked him. And that's what he found. And another book that I recommend people read is by another Jewish scholar by the name of Ilan Pappe. And this book is called The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. And this tells the story of what happened in 1948 when the State of Israel was formed and the myriad of atrocities that were carried out against the Palestinian people, the ethnic cleansing that was carried out, and the brutality that was shown by the Jews who were moved there to populate and set up the State of Israel. It's very compelling reading, and I suggest that anybody who really wants to know about the situation that's really going on between Israel and Palestine, research the Balfour Declaration and get the Transfer Agreement by Edwin Black, a Jewish scholar, and get the Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine by Ilan Pappe, a Jewish scholar. I highly recommend these people read these books. I highly recommend everybody read these books if they really would like to know what the situation is. So that's just one thing that I've been looking into and something that I've been trying to bring people's attention to, because the situation in Palestine is a desperate situation. It's happening because the people of the world aren't really paying attention to it, because the people of the world have the wrong information, because they get most of their information from a media that's controlled by Zionists and a government that's controlled by Zionists. And as I said, Zionism is the belief that Israel basically should inhabit all of Palestine. That's what Zionism is. So, you know, there are a lot of Jews who speak out against this. And my problem is not with Jews. The Israelis and the Palestinians don't even have a problem with the Jews. The Palestinians that I spoke to down there said, hey, the Jewish people, they've always been around here. They always came from that area over there. We never had a problem with them. There was never a problem until the Europeans came here and started putting in boundaries and borders and started calling the place Israel. That's when there was a problem. And you'll find that Orthodox Jews, they don't even support the formation of modern Israel, because according to their Torah, it says that Israel will be granted to them by God at the end times after the big war. So it's not even supposed to be there. It's not supposed to be there until after the final battle, when the land will be granted to them by their God, apparently, according to their religion. So Orthodox Jews believe that these Zionists who came down from Europe and decided to form Israel are actually an abomination against God anyway, and the state of Israel is an abomination against God. That's what they believe. And, you know, the thing is that these people got on fine for years until we got involved, and that's why people need to pay attention to it, because it's not anything about religion. It's about genocide, ethnic cleansing, and land theft. That's what it's all about. So, yeah, that's something we need to pay attention to. As for me, I've got some huge projects I want to do this year. I've got a project called the Full Circle Project, and this did start off as a series of workshops, but really what it's turned into now is what will probably be a festival, which will go for 2 or 3 days everywhere we go. It's going to be an arts and knowledge festival. I want to be able to feature different artwork by different people, all the local artwork from the local areas that we go to, local music and local culture from the areas that we go to. I want to explore the shamanistic traditions of the areas that we go to, the lost shamanistic traditions of the natives, what has occurred to these places due to a loss of these traditions. I want to have workshops punctuated by art and music presentations as well. Have this going for a couple of days or one day. We're still trying to put it all together, how it's all going to work. And we want to finish the festival with at least 1 or possibly 2 days of tree planting, so we can reforest the areas that we go to as well. We want to get people involved in the earth and get them back to nature and get them out there planting trees that are indigenous to the area. And we want to use the tree planting event to attempt to open up dialogue with local politicians, local political figures, perhaps the local town mayor or something like that. Get them on stage with a bit of a Q&A and a round table discussion with people such as myself and maybe Ken O'Keefe, and see if we can demonstrate to people the way to talk to politicians and point out the reality of the trust agreement that is actually our basis with these politicians. I want to plant seeds in local community and provide them with a template that they can use to create this dialogue and keep this dialogue going and hold their local governments accountable, change the direction the ship of state's sailing in. That's what I want to do with the Full Circle Project. And Full Circle, it'll actually be an umbrella mechanism that is going to encompass anything that will empower the public, really. And, you know, if people want us to come to their town, then all they have to do really is get us there, get engaged and get us there. The festival, the end of the festival where we're planting trees, this will be called the Tree of Life or the Tree of Love. We haven't made our mind up yet. But we've got to go full circle. We've got to take the human race full circle and bring us back to where we're supposed to be and connect with shamanistic traditions and reconnect with the earth at the same time, hence the planting festival. And someone in the organizers actually, they had the concept of the tree of love, tree of life, and I had the concept of full circle to create one circle back to where we should be. And he came across a Lakota blessing. And he has friends with the Lakota Indians, and he sent me a blessing the other day, and the blessing said, I see a time of 7 generations when all the colors of mankind will gather under the sacred tree of life, and the whole earth will become one circle again. And that really resonated with me. It was like confirmation of the tree of love and the tree of life and the confirmation of the Full Circle Project. So that's all we want to do this year. And like I said, it was just going to be a series of workshops, but it's morphed into this festival that's going to be all-encompassing, and it's going to really immerse people in local areas into their own culture and leave them a template that they can use behind. That's what I'm hoping to do with it. I want to create a groundswell that's going to empower local communities so we can deal with the problems we face at a local level. And we try writing letters to the president. We try addressing it at a state level and a senator level and a government level. Let's try local council, because once we can rein our local councils and our local so-called governments in, that's how we do it. Once we remove the control that these people believe they have, it can only get better from that point, and that's how we empower local communities. So that's what I'm going to attempt to do this year.
Well, that sounds like a great goal, Max. You'll have to keep us updated, and I definitely would love for you to come back when you do get it started. Now, how can people find out more about this?
Well, they can go to thecrowhouse.com. That's my website. I've got a website up there, fullcirclenow.org, but I don't think it's not actually got any content yet. All I've got is a face page there. There's so much to put together that I've just secured the URL and put a picture there, and the site probably won't be up and running until maybe even June or July, something like that. It may take that long to get together. Hopefully before then, but It may take a while to put together, because it's a really big job. We're having meetings about it this week. I've got another meeting in March, and after the meeting on the 10th of March, then I'll know a lot more about what I'm doing.
All right. Well, again, I appreciate you coming on tonight. Max's website is thecrowhouse.com, and he will be leaving in the next hour. Folks, it's me and you. I want to take your questions, and I've been asked also to do a song or two, and so I'm going to sing you a song and tell you the background and have a little bit of fun tonight. And aside from that, I really do want us to start to think about some of these points that Max has made. I know that I wasn't aware of 63,000 German Jews being moved to Palestine in 1933. Lots more homework, but it's all worth it, because knowledge is power. So, Max, again, thank you very, very much. I think I got about a minute here if you have some final thoughts you'd like to leave us with.
Look, I just hope that the people listening to this realize who and what they are. That's really what it's all about, folks. All the rabbit holes you go down, all the fingers that you point, and all the tails that you're chasing, ultimately what you're looking for is yourself. You're looking for the power that exists there within your heart. And once you understand your own perfection and you understand truly who you are and you realize that everything below man is fiction, we created the whole lot. Government, it only exists on paper. All of this stuff, it's all corporate, it's all fiction. And once you discover your own power, you discover the mechanism with which to deal with this by simply asking the right people the right questions, respecting yourself and respecting those around you, you can change the world. That's what true non-compliance is. It's finding yourself, and that's what I hope you can all do.
Thank you very much, Max. Words of wisdom. Again, folks, coming back on the other side of the break, it's just me and you. A little more insights as to what I mean when I'm talking about strike. And if you'd like to call in and talk to me, 877-346-6673, whatever topic you decide. Again, thank you, Max Egan, from thecrowhouse.com. Good luck with the full circle, and we'll look forward to some more updates. Again, folks, I'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Nothing let that show. My brother had a book he would hold with pride, a little red cover with a broken spine on the back.
All right, Max, thank you very much. All the best to you and your company, and enjoy your evening, or your afternoon, your morning, whatever time it is over there.
Yeah. Afternoon now. Okay, thanks, Don.
Bye, Max.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.